First Peter, chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellence of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For those as the body in one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body. So there is also in Christ. Romans 12, verses 4 through 5. For just as we have many members in the one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are in one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Let's pray together. Lord, please be with this message from Pastor Mitch. May you soften our hearts to you. May you soften our hearts to your truth. May you be glorified. May you receive all the glory. Speak clearly in this message, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'm so grateful for you guys. I'm so grateful that the Lord has given me this position here and to be part of this body, to be part of this community. And this is really what we're talking about today. It's going to be a message, obviously, for the seniors that are graduating, but really it's for you. And you'll see that. We're talking about true community, what God has designed. And when I'm saying community, I'm talking about, even as Zeke read, you know, what does it mean that we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession? You know, it says in the end of that 1 Peter 2, 9-10, it says, you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Right before that, it says, for you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. We are now, actually, as we're born again, aliens in this land. And we're placed together as a community. But the world is fighting against what community really is. It's fighting against it, and it's influenced all of us. It has definitely influenced me. And you know, the places that you see that, you see it hammered us in COVID. It hammered us. All of a sudden, what we read in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of the saints, do not forsake it. We're supposed to gather together as believers. And all of a sudden, it was like, no. Now, that's not what church needs. You don't have to have that. You can stay at home. And I tell you what, if you're really asking yourself, that was kind of enjoyable, wasn't it? To be able to not worry about when you had to get up. You didn't have to fight over the bathroom to shower. You could just go in your boxer shorts and your t-shirt and turn on the TV. You could be listening to whatever was going on and cooking your breakfast, you know, and you're like, oh, that's good. That's really good. This is great. And you sat down in your recliner. I remember very well kicking back that recliner and going, what have we been doing all these years? This is phenomenal. Got a great message from a pastor who's prepared. This Andy, I can talk to you while he's preaching. This is great. I was like, oh, what do you think about this point? Is he right? I don't know. Da, 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 da. Just talk. And then you're like, but I'm in this. But really, though, all of a sudden, it was like, I don't need to go to church. And you saw that actually as a contagion. There's churches that have never recovered. There's churches now, and then all of a sudden that we have now been kind of so desensitized to what God has designed for the church and its community that we will skip church at the drop of a hat now. You're like, oh, I got a little bit of a sniffle. I think I'm just going to stay home today. We can watch it. It's all good. We're part of the body. And we do that. We make really terrible excuses for why we don't want to get up and work at this. And you've seen it over and over again. And it, I remember during this time when my heart was longing for the church and we were still forced out of it, and there was all this confusion, and it forced me to think about what true community was. When it says, do not forsake the fellowship of the saints, what does that mean? Well, have we evolved where we can just have church throughout? And then you see community in all these places that meet your needs outside of the church. Like in social media. You know, we all have our church, but like many of us, we have certain pastors that are from across the country that we like to listen to, right? And you're like, man, they're always on it. I love it. Da-da-da-da-da. And so I listen to them all the time. And then you look at their church website and you're like, wow, that church website's perfect. Look at that. Everything about them. Everybody's always smiling. That church is great. And you know what? That is my community over there in California, which that's crazy, but that's where some good churches are. I know it's kind of weird. But so as you are embracing that, though, and you're listening to those things, you're like, this person is who I want to be ministered to. I told the men's group, I had a person who wasn't even a pastor. His name is Justin Peters, and he was at a conference that I listened to, and he greatly impacted me. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I emailed him. This guy's famous, in my opinion, and he emailed me back. And I was like, oh, this is great. This is the man. He's talking to me. And I'd write him back, and then I didn't work till Wednesday at the church. I was working at the church, and I go up there, and I pull up the email. Did he write me back? And he did. And all of a sudden, you know, we're talking back and forth, and he sends me a picture of him and his dog. And I'm like, we're buddies. This is who's ministering to me. And I had this illusion that this is who I could seek for my mentorship, to be my Paul, as opposed to me being the Timothy. But that isn't true. This man has thousands and thousands and thousands of people that talk to him. He can't meet any of the needs that God designed for the fellowship that is when it says, do not forsake the fellowship of the saints. He was not my pastor who was there by God to be my pastor, to be my shepherd. He wasn't the people that I was supposed to walk arm in arm in as iron sharpening iron. Now, granted, he was a great resource, but it wasn't the true community. How do we see Facebook right now, too? Everybody, like, you want to show your best stuff, right? I mean, you want to show out the stuff that's wonderful, the birthdays, the happy, whatever it is, the weddings, the just the wonderful picnic you had with your family. And you see those families, and you only see that, right? Or you only see what they want you to see. But in that, though, that's not the full picture, is it? And that's yet what we long for in a community. So as we were dealing with this screwed up nature of things, it started making me realize that as we are, our flesh longs for fleshly things. And we so want to incorporate fleshly things into our church because it's easy, because it makes us feel good, because we don't have to drive in the rain to get to church, because we don't have to worry about this or that. I mean, granted, right now, we can get to the church, Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise, because the creeks are rising. I get that. But in that, though, when the creeks aren't rising, we're still like, ah, you know, I don't really like to drive with my windshield wipers on. I think I'll stay home. And I tell you what, listening to Gary's messages online is a heck of a lot better than not listening to him at all. Those would have been amazing. I'm telling you guys right now, we use all these resources I was talking about in the country. I'm just talking about our own little church for a second. This is still on topic, even though it's a tangent. I challenge you. I challenge each and every one of you to listen to every one of his First John sermons up to the point that he's preaching on right now. You will be edified. You will be grown. You will be fed. We spend so much time out there trying to grab these other resources, and we have resources right in front of us. We want our community at so many different places. Just think of how much time and energy that so many of us, those of you who play video games, you have your little community group, don't you? A little group of guys that you don't even meet because they're online. And they're your friends. And they're who you care about. Because in your little imagination, in a sense, or maybe it's your Jeep club, which was I talked about. I used to own a Jeep, and so, you know, if you've ever owned a Jeep, you're immediately in the Jeep club. You just have to drive down the street. It's beautiful. You're driving along like that. I remember I was driving. I didn't even know anything about it. All of a sudden, I saw another Jeep, and the guy goes like this. And I was like, did he wave to me? And I was like, oh. I was only 19 at the time, right? And I was like, next word. I was like, they waved to me. These are my people. And so then I'm looking for Jeeps. I'm like, yeah, me and you, we think exactly alike. Everything about us, we are kindred spirits. You know, the funny thing is, though, is that I had bought a vehicle that was a little bit past my cost, my lifestyle, and I got out of a job that was lucrative, went to another one. I had to sell my Jeep. You know what happened? The Jeep people didn't wave to me anymore when I wasn't driving a Jeep. My community was gone. And those are my people. I still think they're my people. As I'm looking by going, no, please. But, you see, we have this idea that the picture of our community has in that community somebody that has everybody in it that thinks just like we do. But that can't be true. You know, we think that we all, it's almost like we want an echo chamber. But the thing is, though, there's not a single person in here that thinks exactly like somebody else. It's impossible to find. You might have a lot of similarities, but eventually you're going to have conflict. And that's normal. And God knows that. And then we want a community that we're not let down in. The thing is, though, is if you spend any time with people, even your best of friends, will they let you down? And will you let them down? You absolutely will. That's not what community is about. You can't have that. Because as soon as somebody lets you down, what you see, especially if it's in a church, what do? They pack their bags and go to a different church. And they say, these people will meet our needs better. That's not how it works. You know, not only do we want our needs met, we want people to anticipate our needs and then fill them. What it actually kind of, our flesh default of the body of Christ isn't really actually a member of the body of the Christ. It's actually more like a leech or a tick or a mosquito. We're just hanging off the body. We're part of the body. Yeah, I'm right on it. But it's just about me. The thing is, though, is as you look in the Bible, the community isn't designed to be about me. The community isn't designed to be just about you. And we're going to see that in the scriptures. And the thing is, with these very things, you're going to see Paul raw. Extremely raw. And in truth. And you're going to see how we are to react to those things. Because right now, you guys are leaving. And the next thing I want to say is that we want a place where nobody ever leaves us. We don't want to be left. And I don't want you guys to leave. I know that when I lose my voice, the older folk can't hear me. I was crying, so I couldn't say it. We don't want them to leave. Say that loud. We don't want them to leave. The thing is, though, is that they have to leave. We are blessed that some of them get to stay. But a lot of them will be leaving. And we're going to hear that in these scriptures. We know we have blessed families. I think of the Underwoods. They're moving. What an integral part of our church they have become. The thing is, though, this is not taking the Lord by surprise. It is going to hurt when they leave. It's going to hurt like the dickens. But in that, though, what God requires, God provides. I didn't think I could get over last year when my daughter left. I didn't think I could get over Parker leaving. They are kind of close, so it's a little tough. But in that, though, guys, I was devastated. But, you know, as you see the Lord provide, I had no idea how the Lord would fill his needs for the church and the youth group. And he does. You can trust in the one who's faithful. But in those things with needs, in those understandings, what I want you guys to also grasp as we go into this, you need to understand that the church is not designed to meet all of your needs. Do you hear that? The church is not designed to meet all your needs. Your spouse is not designed to meet all of your needs. Even your little small group is not designed to meet all of your needs. Because if they met all of your needs, you wouldn't need God. We are nothing but a bunch of broken cups. In fact, when you pick us up in the mug, the whole bottom is gone. You can see right through it, every single one of us. And guess what? Those churches that we were looking on the website where everybody's smiling, they're all broken cups too. If you're at a church that preaches the sound word, that is striving to be like what we're going to hear with Paul here, then you're in the right place. I want you guys to hear this. I want you guys to understand. I want you guys to think about this, because I honestly have this tendency too, where I want. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 9. The beauty of these passages is this is the end of a book. It's funny, I've been preaching a little bit here and there through ends of books. These are the things that we kind of read through quickly, right? All these names, all these different things, and you're like, oh, this doesn't apply to me. This is good, get through it. That's great. Look at all these people. Lovely. He's just saying hi. These are greetings. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is useful. And this right here is going to, I hope, feed you just as much as other passages. It's beautiful. But we do get in that habit. I get in that habit of reading it fast. I want you guys to hear Paul here. Starting in verse 9. Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to service for me. Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. For the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Just for time's sake, I'm going to skip the last for now. You see, when he says make every effort to come to me soon, he's referring, if you even look back in verse 3 and 6 there, it says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. His departure doesn't mean he's leaving to a different town. He's going to be killed. He's going to be martyred. He knows it. This is his last book. And he's calling for his community. He's calling for his support. And the very first thing that he mentions here is something that I fear for all of you. I taught college for 8 years plus. And one thing that we saw repeatedly is just as it says for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. My fear is the taste of the world will be great, because it is. And when you go off and you don't have the structure that you have now, you don't have the church that you have now, there's going to be a lot of temptation that you've never, ever had before. And having loved this present world, you're going to need Jesus. And so what I'm asking you guys to look at as we're thinking about communities, you guys need to find a community. You need to find a solid church that's not there just to tickle your ears, but to tell you the truth. One that you actually can plug into and serve at. And we're going to see that with Paul here. All right? We're going to see that. As you guys leave, I pray you're more like this. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. As you're looking at these different people that are called off, you guys are all, a lot of you guys are going to colleges that are a ways away. My daughter did. I get it. And those are good things. We talked about the Underwoods. They're leaving for a good reason. We have people that leave for bad because they're angry. We have people that leave for good reasons because they got called to a different job or whatever it may be. But we have to understand that there's people in a church, they're going to leave, aren't they? How many of you guys have experienced hurt when a family left? Man, I can think of, I've only been here for, I guess in September it'll be 3 years. You know how painful it is when we've already had people move? And I've only been here this long. I can't even imagine you guys that have been there your whole lives with them. It's painful. Do you know how hard it was for my church family when Andy and I left? That was her, she was only not there for a year and a half of her life. There's still people crying when we come back. It hurts. In a church, there's pain. In a church, there's betrayal. In a church, there is your best of friends that will let you down. Paul is expressing this here. The beauty of it is, right there, he says, only Luke is with me. Luke has been stable. You see that. But when they talked about Demas from before, Demas was mentioned in Colossians and Philemon, I think. Both of those. He was part of Luke's guard, in a sense. Guard, I mean, like his inner group, his circle. And he fell away. We're going to have people that are working with us that we think are strong, that we think are with us, and then they fall away to the world. And that's so painful. But also, as you're looking, you see Mark. He says, pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. What do we know about Mark, though? Mark was one of those that Paul had basically said he needs to be under church discipline. He needs to go. In fact, so he's with Barnabas, and he's with, and I was talking about this with Nathan. It was beautiful, and it stuck in my head, and I can't get rid of it, and thank you for that. But as we are thinking about Barnabas and Paul with Mark, Paul's like, he's done. He's not going on the journey. Barnabas is like, and so they decide to go different ways, right? And what does Barnabas do? He takes him with him. Do you realize that both those men, I believe, were absolutely right in their decision? There is ramification for you not keeping your nose on the cross. But there's also the need for those to come alongside you and help you get out of the pit. So what we see is a beauty in this. There will be things, there will be consequences to our sins, but we are desiring their restoration. That's what some of the inner workings of the church are. And now Paul is not holding something against him that he had before. He sees that he is right with God. And you see him in many a book talking about Mark in a beautiful sense. So grateful for Mark and wanting Mark to be a part of it. Well, some of you guys right now might be in that position. We as a church need to be looking for those people and helping them come out of the pit. You might not be able to serve in some of the ways you have in the past, but that doesn't mean you don't serve. So as we are looking at this and the understanding of who we are as a group, we are very blessed. We have many wonderful people. There are so many wonderful things that you hear. You hear joy in Paul's voice too as he's talking about those that he loves. In this particular side, you see a lot of heartache though. And we have both, don't we? That's why we're continually having to depend on God. If you're not smacked in the face with heartache, with pain, with the Lord will bring you to the very precipice of sin. Why does he do that? Because you have to be stretched. You could have a wonderful day where you're like, I'm on it. I'm not letting this get to me. I'm not letting this get to me. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm not walking by the flesh. I'm walking by the fruit of the Spirit. But in that, all of a sudden, boom. Successful, successful, successful. But he disciplines those that he loves, doesn't he? And he who began a good work in you will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus, will he not? Well, he cannot do that unless you are being stretched. Unless you are being brought to your knees before him and saying, Lord, I just failed in this. Put me back in your good graces. I am walking by the flesh. I don't want this anymore. Andy can attest that this very week, she's seen me firsthand fall at my knees in failure time after time after time. And together we've prayed to God for restoration so I can live in the light that he has and the fruit of the Spirit and not by the flesh. Each one of us, this is no different. All of you, when you're going into this community, you have to understand and grip this. You know, there's some more things to glean from this, and I will hit them quickly. In fact, I'll just go over to 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on the guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. There is much danger out there. When you are preaching the truth, there are going to be Alexander the coppersmiths that pop up. And they will greatly try to stop you. They will greatly persecute you. They will be a thorn in your side. Paul doesn't hide it. He calls the person out. He's like, Alexander, you know, the coppersmith that lives on 1488 and 2978. That guy. He's the bad guy. Be careful of him. And then so as you see that, we have to not be afraid to call out the people that are dangerous, that could hurt our fellow believers, that are antagonistic to the truth. The thing is, in order to do that, you have to know the truth, right? How do you guys do this? How do you know this? How do you live your life? The one thing that I would say, and actually I think I talked about this with Dean yesterday, and you guys have heard this example before, but if you want to know your God and you want to defend against things that aren't of your God, then the way to do that is to go to the Word and learn the authenticness of who he is. Just like they do with counterfeit money, right? The counterfeit experts don't study all the different fake bills. What do they study? They study the real thing. They study it with everything they have. They feel it. They know it. They know every aspect of it. So when they get a fake, what do they say? That's not real. That's what we do. Only it's even better. Because what he's given us is much better than just a bill. He has given us the opportunity to know him through the fullest extent. Do you understand that we know so little of him, but just knowing that the amount of a drop in the ocean of our God will give you so much discernment in this world that when false things come up, you're like, that seems fishy. That doesn't seem right. And it's not, they're using persuasive speech. If you guys just read through all these Bibles, in 2 Timothy, it's all over. Find all these places, they're tickling ears, they're trying to lure. It sounds good to the flesh. Our default towards the flesh is always on. We have to know him to be ready. You need to know him when you guys are searching for your next community. So, I want to show you guys one more point, and then we're going to go to Paul's mission in life. But I want you guys to see, what did he say with Alexander the coppersmith? He said, the Lord will repay him according to his deeds, didn't he? And then when he says, But at my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. What's he say here? Do you see bitterness? He says, no. He says, may it not be counted against them. And then what does he say? But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. And you're thinking to yourself, is that in his present age? Is he going to be victorious? No, he knows he's about ready to be martyred. He's saying right here, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Do you understand that our call as a community, we are to walk together, we're to support each other, we're supposed to be arm in arm and iron sharpening iron, but those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Do you know what we look for is that hope of the eternal rest that will come with Jesus Christ in the future? That is what we can be encouraged by. This is temporary pain. This is temporary betrayal. We have to forgive those who have betrayed us or hurt us or whatever because we hurt those. We hurt people ourselves. And we're blinded to it. We are just as much of a culprit as the person that you're angry with right now. But we are brought together. Do you remember when Zeke read in Romans 4:12, 4 and 5, it says, we are one body, and individually members of one another. Do you know what that means? That means that I am a member of Daniel. I am serving Daniel. I am a member of Zeke. And Zeke is a member of me. This is part of the body. The iron side, we are together. I can't do that from my recliner watching a TV. It's in the trenches. It's together. We come in and we serve each other. And I want to show you guys the beauty of this. Yes, the church isn't designed to meet all our needs, but God uses it all the time to meet our needs, doesn't he? I can't even count the number of times that there's so many of you in this very room that have actually met the needs of my family without me even asking. I can only say that's from God. It is beautiful, and it makes us cry every time because we know who did it, him. So as we are looking at this, guys, and we know that we are trusting in God, I want you guys to hear, turn to Philippians. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, and I want you to hear Paul's heart here. I want you guys to hear what it means for us to be part of the community of Christ. You guys have heard these verses before, but maybe you haven't necessarily stopped and thought about this one. But it's starting in 21 for context. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Now hear this, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. For your sake. We are living, so when we look in this room to live as Christ, to die as gain, we are here for your sake, all of us. If you're an active member of the body of Christ, if you're not a leech, if you're not a mosquito, if you're not a tick, you are here to serve. Look at what he says here. It's beautiful. And I didn't put all the words because I was reading it again and again. I just realized it is so rich in the middle. I was going to skip to the end, but I'll get there in a second, Doug. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. So that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves. This is how we're supposed to be right here. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them. but of salvation for you. That too from God, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. You see, Christianity isn't for the weak. We are called to stand before, and we are the punching bags, because they can't reach God themselves. How are they going to hit God? Through us. How are they going to slap God? How are they going to insult God? They're going to use it by his children, the community that we've been placed in. So now I want you guys to think about this with Jesus. I'm skipping to Philippians 2, starting in verse 3. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And here it is right here in 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. And that's really a better thing, as a bond slave. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That is who we're called to be like. He is our example. What did it say? He came, he didn't come to be served, but to serve, right? And so here we are, the community, in our broken cups, all of us. But do you realize, with these broken cups, as he passes out the water that extinguishes eternal thirst, he does it through us. And you know, because our cups are so broken, he gets every bit of the glory. Absolutely every bit of the glory. Turn back really quick. This is what I'll close with. And then we're going to have something special. Go to the very last line in 2 Timothy, verse 22. And this is what Paul says. This is beautiful. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. What's he saying when he says grace be with you? Grace is getting something you do not deserve. What I want you guys to know is that when we have received this grace from such an amazing God, he's telling us, here is your Savior who you do not deserve. Here is your sins that have been washed away, which you did not deserve. Here is everything that has been given to you from the Almighty God. His treasure trove of all his wonderfulness, his attributes, his peace, his loving kindness is given to you. And you do not deserve it. That's what grace is getting something you don't deserve. And then you also get his mercy, which is not getting something you do deserve. What a marvelous God we have. Let's not let us sit on the sidelines anymore. Let's put forth the effort to not forsake the fellowship of the saints. Let's put forth the effort to find the right church quickly. Wherever you guys are at, find it quickly. And when you find that you're in a wrong one, or you see something that's then call me. We'll talk about it. Whatever it needs to be, we will get down to the brass tacks. Because I want you guys in a place where you'll be fed, where you'll be taken care of. But don't expect them to meet all your needs. Turn to him. So as we see that, and as you guys see that, know that you're in a good place, but we all need to be having that mentality. Think about how much better we'd be functioning if we had a heart like that. If we were like Paul and saying, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I am here for you.